Okay, you can hear my voice is not doing well this morning. So we'll see how things go this morning. We may have to cut the sermon just a tad short. But we'll see if it holds out long enough to do this rest of this paragraph. So if you have your Bibles, open them up to John chapter 17. And we're going to start with verse 12 and go all the way through to the end of this paragraph, which is verse 19. So reading from the 12th verse of the 17th chapter of the Gospel of John. And while I was with them, meaning Jesus was with the disciples, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except for the Son of Destruction, that the Scriptures might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them to the world. And for the sake I consecrate myself, they also may be sanctified in truth. Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for these words from the Gospel of John, from the very lips of Jesus, to encourage us and to lift us up and carry us along in the difficulties that we face. And I pray, O Lord, this morning, that every word we look at from this passage would sink deep into our souls, that we would be filled with the truth of your word. And I pray, Lord, specifically for me as I am preaching these words, that you would put words into my mouth that need to be spoken, and that ears would be open so they hear the words spoken. And we ask it, Father, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Okay. So this is kind of an odd place to break up this paragraph, but I had to find some place to do it as we're going through this Gospel of John in the 17th chapter. And so we almost would need to go back and start with verse 6 to really comprehend the context in which Jesus is talking. So this is, when we start up in verse 12, it's just a continuation of what he's been saying since the beginning of verse 6. And so while I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me, and I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the Son of Destruction, that the Scripture might be fulfilled. So as we look at verse 12, Jesus is telling us, as well as he's telling these disciples, because remember, everything in this chapter is not just for the disciples as he was speaking to them, but it's for all of us today, just as it was for all of the church past and will be for all the church future. And that while Jesus was with them, or while Jesus is with us, Jesus kept them in the Father's name, which the Father hath given me. Jesus has guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the Son of Destruction, that the Scriptures may be fulfilled. So you see, Jesus is keeping them, he is keeping us in the Father's name. Think for a moment and just let that sink in. Jesus is keeping you. Jesus is keeping me. And he's doing it in the name of the Father. Okay. Got it. Name of the Father. But what does that really mean when Jesus says he has kept them in the name of the Father? Well, a couple of things. First, especially in the Old Testament, to have a name given to you was a sign of the person giving the name and to have authority over you. And so when Jesus is saying, I have kept them in your name, he is saying that the Father has authority over us, just as Jesus himself has authority over us. Because remember, Jesus and the Father are one. What the Father has, Jesus has, and what Jesus has, the Father has. And so, the name meaning authority over us. Secondly, he's saying there we are being kept in the name of the Father, the name of the Lord God of heaven and earth, the maker of heaven and earth. So we're being kept in the name of the most powerful being in the universe and beyond. I say universe and beyond because technically the universe contains this physical world, and heaven and the residence of God, the Father, is beyond this physical universe. So we're being kept under the authority of God. We're being kept under the power of God. But there's something else that's just a tad. Well, when we think about it, it can be a tad concerning. The last part of verse 12, or in the middle of verse 12, I should say, while I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. So God the Father has given us to Jesus. Now, of course, the implication there is that some are not given to Jesus. We can see that if we look back and remember the way the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the rest of the religious leaders responded to Jesus, his teachings and his call to believe in him. Their rejection, not just of his belief, but their persecution of him because they hated him that much. And now in this hour of chapter 17, in just minutes from the moment he's speaking these words, the temple guards will come and arrest him and carry him off for his torture. So Jesus has been given us, but the implication is that some have not been given. And we notice that the Pharisees and Sadducees are examples of this not being given. What about today? What about today? Is this still true today that the Father gives people to Jesus, but there are some who do not? Yes, that's correct. It is today is still true that there are some who are given to Jesus and some who do not. And we see this expressed in the same way that the Pharisees and the Sadducees did. The Pharisees and the Sadducees rejected Jesus, and we see that today. So many of those who not only reject Jesus as Savior, but openly speak against everything he said and everything he taught. And if they could get away with it, they would persecute the church, much as the communists did. Now, I know that's a bold statement, but I firmly am convinced that some sectors of our society who have expressed their belief system in direct contradiction to what Jesus has said and taught and the Bible and Scripture teaches, that if they could, they would persecute us in exactly the same way that the communist regimes of the past and current regimes persecute the church. They would want to silence us. They would want to bring us to an end of existence as a body of believers. But, praise God, he is watching over his people, those whom have been given to Jesus. And while it is absolutely true that in other places the church is persecuted exactly the way I described it, He is protecting us and carrying us through and providing protections to us through both the laws of the land and the will of the people of the land. Even though a majority of people don't go to church, they would not be in favor of the persecution of the church. Now, I know that sounds like we're at the mercy of the will of the people, and to a certain degree we are, but the Lord Jesus himself will intervene on our behalf. And if by his choice, he and the Father choose to let the persecution come, as I've described to us as the American church, then he will also give us the grace and the mercy, the will, and the perseverance to persevere through these trials and tribulations and the persecution, and we will grow stronger. That's the one thing that is truly evident from the persecuted church around the world, is they grow stronger as a result of the persecution. It's almost as if the persecution multiplies the growth of the church. Doesn't make any sense to me, but that's the way it works. Those whom he has given, those whom would persecute the church today, are not those who have been given to Jesus. However, in the middle of all that bunch, even some who would persecute the church, there are people who've been given to Jesus but don't know it yet. Their salvation and deliverance to see Jesus as their Redeemer and to love him as their Savior is a future moment in their lives. And because we know that some of those are there, and because we know that it will happen, we can with confidence go out and share Jesus with whomever he puts in front of us, because some of those are the ones who've been given to him but just don't know it yet. We share the love of Jesus because we don't know who is the ones that are chosen to be given by God the Father to Jesus. And then they will make a conscious choice of their very will itself to worship him and to give praises to him and to confess Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. And see, even in the end of verse 12, we see where Jesus is guarding us, has guarded us, and will continue to do so now that he is with the right hand of the Father. And the only person who gets lost is the son of destruction. That's referring to Judas Iscariot because of his betrayal of Jesus, which was predicted in the scriptures, especially in the Psalms, where him who has taken bread from my hand rises up his heel against me. And then verse 13, but now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. We get to have Christ's joy fulfilled in us. Let that sink in for a second. How much joy is there in Jesus? How much joy does he have to give us? A lot. He has a lot of joy to give us. And all that's necessary for us to receive that joy is to receive him in the fullness of who he is, and we receive the joy that he has for us. The joy of Jesus Christ. That just sounds so beautiful, doesn't it? The joy of Jesus Christ. And that he would say it in this moment is stunning and shocking to me, because he's just minutes, as I said, minutes away from being arrested and tortured. And the disciples are all tore up because he's leaving them. And then in the middle of all that, he says, "These things I speak in the world that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves." So I guess we're supposed to have joy in the midst of unpleasant circumstances. Because the context of John chapter 17 is very unpleasant circumstances. And we're still supposed to have the joy of Jesus even then. How do you do that? When everything's going wrong. You know those days when you can't, where just everything goes wrong. How can you have Christ's joy in the midst of those difficulties and troubles? Well, the first way we do it is to be looking at Him, not at our circumstances. Now, I don't want to sound like some self-help guru here, so let me be clear and unambiguous. In the midst of the troubles and the difficulties of the day that where everything's going wrong, we take our eyes off these circumstances and off these things that have gone wrong, and we put our eyes on Christ Jesus and Him alone. And in the midst of doing that, His joy can start to return to us that we have lost because of the difficulties. This is very much like Peter and the waves when Jesus called him out of the boat and he began to see the waves and took his eyes off of Jesus and then began to sink. We in our difficulties and circumstances, we will sink into the abyss of hopelessness, of despair, of everything that will consume us like a darkness consuming the light. All of that if we don't have our eyes on Jesus. Now I know this is easier said than done. Right? It's very difficult to remember to take your eyes off of where you are when you're in the middle of where you are. So how do we develop the skill of being able to, wait, I got to put my eyes on Jesus? Well, the first place that skill comes from is spending time with Him in His Word and in prayer. You do those things and all of a sudden it gets easier. That skill of focusing on Him becomes enhanced and honed, so that in the difficult circumstances when we need to remember, don't look here, look here, we remember. Lord Jesus, help me. Oh, thank you. I just, hallelujah, I'm going to rest and rejoice in you, even with all this going on. That's how we get there. It's just like Peter in the boat. Lord, help me. And then our eyes come back to Him. And then the cares of this world grow dim. Then verse 13, "But now I'm coming to you, and these things I speak in the world." That was 13. Verse 14. "I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world." Now we get to it. Why do these people that I was mentioning earlier, who completely contradict everything that Jesus and the scriptures say and want to persecute us? Why do they want to do that? And it is because they hate us. And the reason they hate us is that we are not of the world. Now later, Jesus, in his very next verse, I believe, he tells us he does not ask for the Father to take us out of the world, but that he would keep us from the evil one. What does it really mean that we are not of the world, but we are in the world? How does that work? Well, actually, some of you already realize how it works. You just don't realize that you know it. You're in the workplace, and you're the one who's different. You're the one who is joyful. You're the one who does what they're supposed to do without complaining. You're the one who encourages others on the days they come in and have been experiencing difficulty, or it's their day that everything goes wrong. That's being in the world, but not of it. Because we are of Christ Jesus everywhere we go. Then in verse 16, they are not of the world just as I am not of the world. I'm sorry, that goes 15, 16 go together. Then Jesus says something that's truly, to me, breathtaking. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. He sanctifies us. Well, he calls on the Father to sanctify us. Wow. Despite how you see me, I'm a pretty unsanctified person. Yes. My wife can tell you things that show my unsanctification. Although occasionally she can also say things that show I am sanctified for at least a few seconds. But sanctify us in the truth. And then he goes on to explicitly say what the truth is, which is especially important in our culture today, where truth is not only non-existent, hardly, it's defined by the person in whatever way they want truth to be defined. Jesus goes on to define truth as God's word. The word spoken by God the Father is the truth. So we are sanctified through the words he has spoken to us. What are some of those words he's spoken to us? You are clean. Because you've been washed in the blood of Jesus and have been clothed in the white robes of righteousness, you are clean. What's some other way he sanctifies us? He tells us to come to him. We can enter because of our faith in Christ. We can walk into the very throne room of God, a place where angels step with much care and mercy. And we can walk into the very throne room of God, stand right at the throne itself, and say, Lord God, I need help. And this is the King of the universe, the King of kings, and the King of all things. So he has the power to help us. There's no doubt about it. And kings are in the business of helping their subjects. So he will help us. It may not be in exactly the way we ask, but he will help us. Then verse 18, as you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And 19, for their sake I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified in truth. There we have it. We are sanctified in the truth of Jesus Christ, as he says there at the very end, and that he is sending us out into the world to do the very things that I've mentioned we do, and in some cases, even more. to be explicit about faith in Christ. And so, we see that he has kept us by the power of his word. We can see that he sanctifies us by the truth of Christ himself and his work on the cross. And we see that Jesus has consecrated himself for our sake. Everything he's doing, everything that I've described to you here during this sermon, he is doing for us. He is doing it for you, individually, singular you. All for us. Let's pray. Oh Lord Jesus, thank you for this morning. Thank you for this word. This word that has sanctified us through looking into it and starting to understand everything that you mean by us being kept in your name and sanctified through the truth. And we praise you and thank you for what it has shown to us this morning. We thank you and praise you for the gift of having your word taught and preached this morning. In Jesus' holy name, amen.